This is Music Respawn at GDC. I'm Kate Remington talking with Sam Marshall, and thank you so much for your time. We're going to be talking about Concrete Genie and the interactive music that you've been writing for it. So thanks so much for being here.
Oh, yeah. It's my pleasure.
This game is so interesting because the music, I've never heard of another game where the music is as interactive in a game that's not, you know, specifically music driven. I mean, there's plenty of them like Audio Surf and that kind of thing. But this one, the music plays such a role because the player is really part of making the music. And so I guess maybe we could talk about whether that was intentional right from the beginning or if it was sort of a thing that grew out of as the game was being developed.
No, it was definitely something that kind of we sort of grew into. You know, at one point we were trying to figure out a way to incentivize painting even more in the game. We wanted the players to experiment with different brushes, and we wanted them to just love painting and just want to do it all the time. And one of the layers that we added to it was that the paintbrushes actually make music as well. And so, you know, we tried a lot of different things, and you know, some were just like, you know, I think at first it was just kind of a generic sound, you know, a generic kind of chimey sound for all of the brushes. But then we decided, like, no, they actually need to be unique, and so we broke them up into kind of classes. Like, here, these kind of brushes should have this sound, these kind of brushes could have that sound. And we were getting closer, but it was like, no, actually, oh, dang it, it looks like we have to make individual sounds for each of them to make this work. But it's been an absolute pleasure. It's really fun for me. You know, it's kind of a different side of your brain when you're constructing these, like, basically virtual instruments inside of in game engine. You know, like, composition is all creative, and this stuff is, like, a lot more techie, and so it's refreshing for me to do that stuff.
Yeah, I'll bet. I would imagine that it helps if you're not, like, a total control freak, because maybe random things will happen as you're doing it. So how much did you have to, like, step away and just sort of let the music play itself, or let the playtesters design it and just kind of be cool with it?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, it's interesting you say that, because all the brushes themselves are a combination of a lot of different systems. So some brushes always play the same melody every time, so that gives the player the option to be like, kind of recognize it and kind of know when that next, like, that high note or that low note is going to come in and kind of jam with the soundtrack that way. Some are completely randomized from a scale, so they just kind of go, and that's fun in its own way. You know, some will play little chords, and some will kind of arpeggiate. So, you know, we wanted to give them a lot of options there, too, just in case there are some people who just want to go crazy, but if there are other people who want to kind of like, oh, I want to actually play a nice melody, they can do that, too.
Well, the whole idea of creating the paintings in the first place in the world of the game is so essential, because it's this young boy, Ash, who's discovered a magical paintbrush in this really down and out kind of sea town, and he's being bullied, and so painting is a way for him to kind of get things going on a couple of fronts. It beautifies the city, but it also helps him kind of deal with all the stuff that he is going on. So that in itself is such an interesting concept. And so you mentioned in your session that you wrote 40 minutes of music and they didn't like any of it. So what I'm wondering is, you know, what was missing in the early conversations that you could have used a whole lot sooner?
I think the thing that was missing was, you know, and I mentioned this, like, I was kind of, honestly, I was taking for granted a little bit that I was like, oh, we had great success in our last game, like, I can kind of just do whatever I want and it'll be cool because they love me, right? And it turns out that was not the case. So I wish that I realized that earlier, that I actually did need to do my homework a little bit more. But I, you know, I also realized that like, just kind of doing a shotgun blast of styles and trying to see what sticks, just kind of throw things at the wall and see what sticks, was actually not the right thing for this project. You know, that can work, you know, because that's kind of a game thing where it's like, oh, we're just going to iterate, we're going to try a bunch of things. Like, that's all great. But for this particular project, it really needed some, like, real intent and some really specific, very deliberate, intention behind it.
And what was so interesting in your session, you broke it down to these three really core essentials of the game: magic and overcoming a sense of, you know, just bullying, and also growing maturity, and then childhood. And I love how you identified a particular instrument or sound for each of those. So maybe you could, because I was at the session, so I already know, but it'd be great for you to like explain your process for narrowing down each of those.
Oh, for sure. And I should be clear too, like, you know, when I say the musical pillars, these are the themes. There are many themes of Concrete Genie, but these are the themes that I felt that needed music representation. So there's a lot more going on in Concrete Genie than just those things, obviously. So we had these three things that I identified, which was childhood and kind of adulthood or maturity or kind of doing the right thing. It's all kind of the same thing. And then there's magic. And, for the childhood, I said earlier in the talk that I'm really influenced by instruments, which is kind of why I don't really like writing sketches. I kind of just like to get in there and just like start fleshing out the instrumentation right away. So I was like, okay, childhood, youthfulness, playfulness, creativity. The flute was the first thing that popped into my mind, and it was interesting to me too because the flute's just not used that often as a main sort of focus in a soundtrack. Because I think people have like it's a kind of a bad association with the flute for kind of not good reasons.
Starts with Mozart, I think.
With Mozart, it just can come off as cheesy. But it turns out that with the right writing and the right recording process, it can actually be really intimate and very breathy and beautiful and expressive. So that was really interesting to me. And then the second pillar I identified was overcoming struggle and maturity and sort of doing the right thing, being bullied, but overcoming it and not letting it drag you down. And also, living in a crappy town that's dilapidated, but bringing it back to life. So it was kind of this twofold thing where it was something sad and then something triumphant. And so for that, that one was obvious to me. That one's the cello, because it's such a mature and robust and expressive and versatile instrument. It's like a film scoring, game scoring staple. You hear it all the time. So that made sense to me right away. And that was, also the contrast between like, oh, flute not used so much, cello used all the time. That seemed like the right choice for me. Because that's kind of a check and balance that I'm always doing with my music is like, is this too familiar? All right, I need to add some weird to it. Or like, is this too weird? I need to like bring back some familiarity.
Yeah.
I used to do theater in high school, and I had this acting teacher who said, if you do something new in a new way, you'll be remembered for it when you're dead. And if you do something old in an old way, then nobody's going to care. So you kind of always have to do something new in an old way or old in a new way. And that has stuck with me for a long time. And the third part of it was magic, right? It's like you have to represent the magic of this paintbrush and all this otherworldliness of this fun, wonder of this magic paint. And for that, I chose synths, which is kind of a strange choice because basically I didn't want to do like the wizardy Harry Potter stuff for magic because that seemed done to death. And honestly, I wouldn't do a good job of that. I'll leave that to John Williams to do that stuff really well. For me, it was like, okay, I understand synths. I love synths. So like, I have a great analog polysynth collection, like hardware synths that I've been dying to use or something. And so it just kind of made sense. And, it turns out that Concrete Genie is really influenced by classic 80s coming of age movies with a little bit of fantasy. So those like synthy 80s film scores were like, it was a nice nod to that without doing a retro thing. And it turned out that it was a really nice contrast to the, these really worldly concepts. We have the flute and the cello, this childhood, adulthood kind of thing, and then the synths on top of it it just really stuck out. All three of these guys really stick out, and when they play together, you can still hear all of them. They all kind of have their own unique sound and voice, and each one of those three things are in, I think almost every piece of music in Concrete Genie has those three things.
What's so interesting about it is, the live instruments kind of provide a sense of presence and like a a real world sound, which is great. And I think one of the overall arching themes that I've taken away from this GDC is use live musicians whenever you can.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it adds so much to the sound. So how did you find the flutist and the cellist?
I knew the cellist. She's a great cellist from the San Francisco Conservatory. I just known her from various sessions that we've done in the past, and she actually introduced me to the flautist. So that was an easy one.
Well, the other thing that really surprised me, and I hadn't really given much thought at all to, is when you're working with a small ensemble like that, you can be really nimble and add music kind of on the fly. So were there any moments where you like really had to scramble and bring people into the studio like at the last minute?
Oh, for sure, all the time. Yeah. All the time. You know, game development, and this is not a thing that's unique to our group, game development is just full of milestones. You know, we're full of like big important milestones. So it's like, okay, we need to get this album finished. Like, oh, we need to get this demo finished for E3. Like, so we got to have real music in there. You know, we can't have the synth stuff in there, or my composer demos done on a computer, virtual instruments. Because that's where it starts, right? I play a keyboard and it plays a cello, but then we come in and record a real cello. So it's like, okay, this is going to be public facing. Like, we have to record real instruments. Like, okay, we're cramming on a trailer now. That's got to be real instruments. So yeah, being really nimble is a lot more it's a lot more cost effective with soloists. You know, and even though we're a small team, if orchestra was right for this project, you know, we would have found a way to get it, right? But in this case, and again, the flexibility point is kind of a hindsight thing. You know, like going into it, I wasn't really thinking about it. But now, having been through it a bunch of times, I'm like, oh, wow, it's so much easier to get cellists and flautists who are local and awesome to come to our studio and record. And then Anthony is the mix engineer who's in the office next to mine can mix it, you know, in a day or two. And so it can all move really fast. You know, when you're recording orchestral music, and don't get me wrong, like attending an orchestral session that's playing your music is one of the most thrilling feelings you can have. I love orchestral music, and I love writing it, don't get me wrong. But yeah, there is something to be said about, when you're booking an orchestral session, like you better be ready, right? You know, I think on our bigger Sony titles, we'll do like, you know, two or three orchestral recording sessions throughout like a 3-year development cycle, but only when we've amassed enough music to make it worth it. Mm-hmm. So for Concrete Genie, it's like if I have a handful of tunes that I need recorded, easy, we just get them over here for 2 hours each, and then we mix it, and boom, we're done.
Yeah. Well, so the game hasn't quite come out yet.
No, no,
but
it's still in development.
Yeah. So, and are there plans for a soundtrack?
No specific plans yet, but at the Sony Music Group, we release all of our soundtracks in some form or another.
That's fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to this. And Sam, thank you so much for taking some time to talk about it.
Oh, you're so welcome. This is great. Who doesn't love to talk about their work?
Exactly.
I sit in a dark room all day writing music. I'm so happy to talk about it.
Well, thanks.